welcome to another episode of Scare Traducing, a horror movie podcast that nobody listens to. I'm Callum McNabb.
I'm Gisela Martinez.
And we are here with a delayed episode on the movie Studio 666. My alarm has just gone off.
We are recording in the morning. We normally do it like nighttime or afternoons, but this time is the morning shift.
So this episode we had initially scheduled for last Monday, a week ago, but we are in the process of moving house and life is all up in the air at the moment. So it got delayed, and by the time you hear this, we will be in Mexico for 2 weeks. So it's just a bit mad, and this is really the only time we could record it. Hopefully it doesn't take me too long to edit, because I am not taking this laptop with me. So I have until 3 o'clock today to edit it. That means nothing to anyone who's listening. But we're here to talk Studio 666. I'm trying to think if there's anything we didn't talk about on our previous episode. Oh, yes.
What?
Oscar nominations came out.
Oh.
Nothing for horror, but nothing, that was to be expected. Are not, as for people who've listened before, we're not really that bothered if horror gets recognised or not, because we also like the Oscars.
Oh.
The way they are.
Yes.
I mean, they have problems, but, you know.
It's fun.
It's fun the way it is.
It's just fun just to try to guess who's getting the Oscar.
Exactly.
Who gets more points than the other one. It's just super fun season.
So, nothing for horror. Maybe the closest is Nightmare Alley, which is currently my favourite of the Best Picture nominees. I still haven't seen Coda, Drive My Car, and is it King Richard? Is that up for Best Picture?
I just downloaded King Richard to watch on the plane home. But then I realized, that movie's going to be on the plane.
I think it's going to be on the plane.
But you know what? The next episode, I'll let you know which movies were on the plane that I wanted to see and didn't see, or like if King Richard was there. But yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay. And Malignant may or may not be chosen as the fan cast Oscar thing that they're doing this year, which is a stupid idea. And I think Cinderella was in the lead. But that's just as funny to me, so. But Malignant should be there, so hopefully that gets in. The trailer for Nope came out.
Oh, yeah.
Brief thoughts on that. We didn't talk about that previously.
I mean, it's aliens, right?
We think so.
But, I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
The music, the, like, you know, like the characters are always awkward or something, like there's something off and you're like, what's going on here?
You mean in a Jordan Peele movie?
Yes, right. A Jordan Peele movie. So I was like, whoa, I mean, is this real? Is this natural? This doesn't feel natural. There's some elements that these characters have that doesn't feel natural.
They think it's aliens.
I think it's aliens, but aliens...
Is it too obvious? That's the thing that people are asking.
Okay, one, this is too obvious. And also, that's a personal thing.
You don't like aliens.
I do like aliens, but I don't think horror. Like horror, I think about, you know, like haunted houses.
Right.
Like a serial killer, maybe.
Right.
And a creepy things, disturbing. Aliens.
Right, but you have never seen Alien.
No.
Or the Alien franchise.
No.
Which is fine, because we're going to do it on this podcast.
Oh my God.
We are. Oh, I didn't reveal that at the start of the year, that we do new releases, but we used to do franchises, so now we're doing a bit of both, which is on specific dates of the year, we will do one entry of a franchise. So, for example, if there's a Friday the 13th,
oh God,
we'll do a Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Because I've never seen any of them. On Halloween, this one's easy to work out, guys. And on Alien Day, which is not an official holiday, but...
When is Alien Day?
LV426, so the 26th of April.
Oh, soon. Shit. Okay.
And we will do one of them on that day.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
And also, news in the Alien world, Fede Alvarez, director of Don't Breathe, Don't Breathe 2, Evil Dead, The Girl in the Spider's Web... And producer on things like... He didn't direct Don't Breathe 2, sorry. He just co-wrote it. producer on the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, he's been helmed to direct a new Alien film. Which, oh, interesting. But I'm sad because I want Ridley Scott's trilogy to finish. So, his prequel trilogy. But we'll talk more about that on our Alien episodes, which, if we continue to do this podcast for 6 or 7 more years, we might actually get to the end of. But anyway, hopefully when you see Alien, you will maybe start to think of aliens as scary.
We'll see. Okay.
Or we will see what Jordan Peele's got in store in July. Which is when that movie comes out.
Oh, okay.
But we're not here to talk about any of those things.
We are here to talk about Studio 666.
Foo Fighters, you gotta get me a record.
It's our 10th album. We gotta break the mold on this one.
Let's talk.
Let's go somewhere we've never been.
This place is amazing.
Do you guys get this overwhelming sense of death?
Whoa. Doesn't really seem like the right fit.
Whoa. Studio 666, the Foo Fighters movie, which is a strange sentence.
It is. You know what? It is a really a specific market.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like a horror comedy.
It's a horror comedy, and also you're mixing. Are you a fan of the Foo Fighters? Okay, go there. Or rock music in general, like. Okay, cool. I feel like when we were on the cinema,
yep.
Like buying drinks and everything,
yep.
I can see the people is like, okay, these are like music fans.
Foo Fighters fans.
Like, yeah, like easily you could see. And I don't know if that might affect the reviews for the movie. Like, oh, you go and see this movie expecting, well, you shouldn't expect something else than... just like a comedy, a silly comedy.
It is comedy. A horror comedy.
Yeah, exactly. But if you go like, oh, I'm going to see my idols and blah, blah. And it's like, why did he do this? Did he just like embarrass himself? Or things like that. It's like, oh, come on. It's like.
Who thinks that?
I know, I'm just saying that someone might think. But
I disagree. I think this is very in the Foo Fighters wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember their classic music videos from MTV?
Fair enough, yeah. Okay,
they're always silly.
But yeah,
they're silly bands.
It is a really specific market that they're targeting here.
Yeah,
and I think they just did it for fun.
Yeah, of course. As soon as I heard that this was coming out and there was a trailer released, like, I was buzzing for it. I'm not even the biggest Foo Fighters fan in the world.
Say, I only know Best of You and...
My Hero.
How it goes.
There goes my hero, watching as we go. I don't know if that's actually the lyrics.
Is that the airplane video?
Yes.
Okay, that's it.
Everlong, surely? I'm not singing
Everlong.
Is that
like, kind of like a ballad thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I think power ballad.
What about, you must know, The Pretender? You must know One by One?
No.
Yeah, you do. Do 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 do. That sounds terrible.
I
can hear it in my own headphones. That sounds awful.
I'm actually just saying no, so you're saying it to me. But yeah, so yeah, Foo Fighters movies. We went to the cinema.
Yeah.
We decide to get some alcoholic drinks because it's the kind of movie you need to, like, you know, get some drinks and watch this movie. You have like snacks or whatever. Do you have any expectations about this movie?
No, I didn't. I thought it was going to be silly. I thought it was going to be very, very silly. And like, over, especially when it came up at the start that it's an 18, like I was like, this is going to be gory. Uh-huh. This is going to be very splatter heavy. Like, it's going to be a riot. Like, it's just a rock band talking about satanic stuff and having a piss take with it. And people are going to get gutted on screen. Like, that's what I thought going in. And... as I say, I'm not a massive fan of the Foo Fighters. I do like them. I think they've made some good albums in the past. I think their main problem is filler. There's a lot of filler on their stuff. They don't know when to drop some songs.
Callum, the music expert.
It's not a music... They've made two, I would say, properly cohesive albums, which are, unsurprisingly, The Colour and the Shape, which everybody talks about, and Wasting Light is the other one. Mm-hmm. The rest of them... you may as well just go with their greatest hits. That's my thoughts on the Foo Fighters as a band. My thoughts on the Foo Fighters as movie makers or movie stars is... Drum roll, please. What the hell was that?
The drums.
Oh. My thoughts on them as movie stars is the same.
Okay, yeah, I can see. I mean, yeah. So, plot.
No, not plot. What did you think of it?
Well, we need to talk about the plot, just and then we can talk about it. I don't know what you want to do.
Well, I was wanting to know, we haven't spoken about this movie at all since we saw it.
Yeah.
Which was a couple of nights ago now.
Well, I'll talk about the plot. So
okay.
The band needs a new album.
Yeah.
So the manager, record label or whatever, they are like, okay, like we have all these places that you can go, but there are the Foo Fighters are like, no, we need a special place. We need something to be different. It's our 10th album. And they were like, the manager, like, we have the perfect place. Mm-hmm. And then the voice changes here for the manager. We were like, okay, this person knows something about it. But it doesn't matter because I don't think this is the point of the movie saying like, ooh, he's mean or whatever.
It is saying that.
It's just like, it's all right. Anyway, so they found this old house where previously a band was trying to record an album, but they commit suicide or some weird
murder
thing happens.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, the echo in this place is fabulous. We want this house. So they set up there and start recording the album.
Yep.
And yeah, and then start like seeing things or shadows or stranger things start happening.
Stranger things.
So anyway, first, the band acting.
Well, this is the thing.
Like,
you knew it was going to be like that.
Yes. I mean, like, I ask you, I didn't know there were six in the Foo Fighters. I mean, I don't know the band.
There's
I don't know their names. Taylor, I don't know anything.
Pat. I only know three.
But I ask you, one of them is, like, quite old compared to the other.
You're talking about Pat Smear.
Yeah. What's the story about that?
What do you mean, what's the story about that?
Is he kind of like the uncle of all of them, or what?
No. He is about 10 years older
than
him. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
They just like...
So, he was a guitarist in like a punk band.
Okay.
And he became a touring guitarist for Nirvana towards the end mm-hmm. of Nirvana's career. And obviously Dave Grohl was the drummer in Nirvana. Mm-hmm. So, once Nirvana came to an end, for obvious reasons, Dave Grohl started a side project, which was Foo Fighters, which was just Dave Grohl doing everything, guitar, singing, drums, yeah. everything. And then, once he recorded I think he initially recorded it just as like a personal demo tape and started giving it to people like, and then people told him, you should get this to a record studio uh-huh. or whatever. Anyway, once that becomes like a thing that's being released and he's got to put a band together, then he obviously already knows Pat Smear.
Okay.
I don't know how he meets the other people. As okay. I say, I'm not a big enough fan to know the backstory of how
not
he meets.
Fair enough.
But, for example, if you watched Nirvana's Unplugged, their famous MTV Unplugged.
Yeah, yeah.
The acoustic.
Yeah, yeah.
Pat Smear, the quote, old guy, you
the
think he's
guy.
In it. He's
okay,
there
okay,
on the guitar.
No, yeah, it's just like, to me, he's the one that seriously don't even try to act. Like,
right.
he's bad, but he's
okay.
so cute.
He's like a Foo Fighters fan favourite.
Oh,
so basically, he
cute.
Left the band a couple of, like, in like 2002 or something,
mm-hmm.
and then came back as a touring musician first, but he wasn't on in the albums, and then was Wasting Light the first album? I can't remember, but he came and people were like, fucking Pat's back officially in the Foo Fighters. Like, people love Pat Smear.
Well, I'm saying, like, the vibe I got from him was.
Yeah.
Like, he can act, but he's just so cute.
Yeah.
He is really cute. I really like him. And then we have the other character, like band member.
They're playing themselves, yeah.
That is like the one that is kind of like a hippie sexual guy.
Yeah.
He was quite funny. I
so
like him. He's acting because it was so over the top. But again, I don't know if he's like that in real life or he's like, that's the vibe he goes for. Like, oh, he's the vegan of the band
okay.
or like, you know.
So he is Rami. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. It's Jaffe?
Okay.
I don't know. It's Rami's his name. He is the keyboard player of the Foo Fighters. He So, as we've already said, they can't act. None of them can act. They're not actors. But he is the one that annoyed me the most.
Why?
Because I think the Foo Fighters are funny enough to know, based on previous music videos, that this sort of rock star persona thing, I know it's all a joke, but I don't think it's that funny. For example, the joke is he's got a massive dick. Mm-hmm. I never find big dick jokes funny. I find small dick jokes funny.
Well,
big dick jokes are not funny. The rockers and rappers have been bragging about that for years. Once you're like, that's not that funny. Or if you're going to show me that, or tell me that he's got a big dick, show me it. Like, have a ridiculous, like in Pam and Tommy,
Pam and Tommy, for example. Oh my
again,
God.
That's funny again. Yeah. Like, show it then. But they always have him with these tight pants that are clearly, like, fucking bulging out.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not
you
funny.
You know what?
He just annoyed me.
I just thought, like, that was, like, so over the top that I was like, you have to go so over the top for this movie.
Right, but I don't know. It just never feels like the... Like, I think the Foo Fighters are funny enough to know that that's kind of played out and... isn't he the one that's all spiritual? And they're just like, this has been done a million times. Like, I thought the Foo Fighters were funnier
like
that, than
that. Film.
Yeah, I know, but...
Anyway, as
a band, I thought they were funnier than that.
Next one. Then we have the drummer.
Taylor Hawkins.
He's hot.
Taylor Hawkins is handsome as fuck.
It's really hot. And he kind of can act. Like, I thought he was the best. Well, yeah, second best.
Taylor, I am surprised at how little he has to do in this movie. And when I say little, I don't mean that he's, you know, sidelined. He's still, you know, in the movie. But Taylor Hawkins is like the Foo Fighters' second superstar. Like, if they have interviews with the Foo Fighters, it's Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins.
Okay.
Nobody else. They're like, we're here today with the Foo Fighters, but it's just them two.
Okay.
And you're like, that's not the Foo Fighters. That's just two of the Foo Fighters. But it's always them that are in interviews. So
main guy and handsome. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's fine. And then...
I thought he would have more to do in this movie as a result.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay,
then
fine.
We have another guitar. I can't picture the guy.
Which guy are you talking about?
I know I'm missing people, but I don't know.
You've got two more. Well, you got three more, but one of them's really obvious, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Dave, I'm leaving
yeah,
that.
Yeah, leave him, yeah.
But I can't remember the other two.
Right, there was the one who gets...
I know there's two guitars left, right?
No, there's a guitar and a bass.
And the bass, okay.
So you've got one that is, like, on the barbecue all the time?
Yeah, but I can't picture his face.
Oh, really? Right, that's Chris.
And that, for example, me, that I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
It's like, you needed to do something else, because I can't remember your face.
Okay.
Or your personality.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. The other ones, I can tell you, the big day kind of sexual guy, then the old cute guy that I really like, I really like him, then the cod one, and then I can't remember these ones.
Fair enough. I'm not going to try and convince you about them.
No, that's fine. But I just know, if you don't have like a seal,
right,
or like a something that makes you different than the other ones, made it up for the movie. Because
right.
I can't remember their faces.
Fair enough. But for the two you're talking about,
mm-hmm,
Chris and Nate, again, any Foo Fighters fans listening who are probably maybe screaming at us like, it's fucking Chris and Nate. In terms of the general public, I think they're just happy to be there.
Aww.
Like, they're not the superstars of the Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Neither's that Rami guy. He's the fucking keyboards. Keyboards are shit in a rock band. I'll tell you that right now.
Shut up. We're going to be cancelled.
I know. It's Dave and Taylor, then Pat. Then maybe this Rami guy, because of what you're talking about,
uh-huh,
how he looks.
Yeah.
Then I think the other two are just happy to be there. They're talented musicians. They do what they do. But they're not there. They're not going to, you know, was it upset the apple cart? Is that the phrase? Like, they're not there to cause any problems.
Yeah.
Someone tells them, do this, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They're just there not for a paycheck, but like, you know, they're not breaking new mold with the Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
they're the replaceable ones if
exactly. So those ones, they don't even have an image in my head.
Right.
And then we have Dave.
Yeah. Who
so
is
obviously
the superstar.
The frontman, like the superstar. Obviously everybody knows him.
Mm-hmm.
Even I do.
What do you mean you do? You used to watch MTV and all that all the time.
No, but I mean, like, it's like if you put like a, you know, those portraits just of the shade, you have no face or anything, just put the hair and the beard. I was like, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, Foo Fighters, the frontman, the singer. Like, I can tell you immediately.
Can you tell me?
Something with G.
Yeah. Dave Grohl.
Oh, Dave Grohl. I don't know about with names.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I will just say to you, Foo Fighters.
Right,
that,
okay.
That's it. Anyway, so he...
Not Nirvana.
No.
Oh.
I will say... Well, anyway, movie. Callum, stop it. So, it's clearly his project. It's clearly he came up with the idea. Because he enjoys the whole shit. Like, he's so into it. He's, like, trying to act. Like, you can tell he is having a blast in here. Like, totally, you can tell.
Yeah, it is. It's based on a story from him. He didn't write the screenplay, but he came up with this story idea.
Okay, no, yeah, and you can tell. And he enjoys it. And he, like, believes it and everything. Like, if you don't get a fine act with the other, like, acting from the other ones...
Yeah.
At least this guy might not be the greatest actor or
he's
whatever,
not, no.
But he believes it.
Right.
So that makes you feel like, okay, I do believe it too then.
So
there's
yeah.
passion, there's heart there.
He's the sort of creative force behind Foo Fighters. I think he's the one that sort of takes them on any journeys they go on, even in their music career. Like, I think if he says, I want to do this type of album, everybody sort of follows suit. Like, I imagine, do you remember the Sonic Highways documentary we used to watch? Where they did an album, Sonic Highways, which I haven't actually listened to, but I hear is terrible. But they did a documentary where they go to a different city in America each episode, and they'd record a song with a famous...
No, I didn't watch that.
You did. We watched it in Vancouver.
Oh.
It was great.
Okay.
I think that's Dave's sort of passion project, to do these things. And he likes horror, and he likes... You know, all this
that's
sort of stuff.
That's cool.
I think he's the creative force.
Yeah.
I don't think. I know. It is. He started the band, of course.
But yeah, no, like, you can tell that he's enjoyed it. And then that, like, as an audience, you feel it.
Okay.
And then you get on board.
Okay.
With my personal experience, I was watching this movie and I was like, this is so dumb.
Okay.
But it makes me think, you know, like, old MTV vibes, that it was just ridiculous. And then you will get all this weird thing. It was so MTV retro for me, the vibe that I get
right.
from this movie.
Yep.
And I enjoyed it, yeah. I really like it for what it is.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going there like, oh, is it going to have a, oh, no, Oscar nomination, no way. Like, no. For what it is, it's fun. It is a little bit long.
Ho-ho, boy, we need to get to that.
Yeah, so I will cut... When I said, oh, so they get into this house, they set up all the instrument, they have sessions trying to record this song, and I'm like, cut, lots of parts in here, like, there's no need of all this. We get it that you're spending a lot of time, that you have moments here, moments there. It's too much of that, because then that's like 40 minutes or something.
What did I say about the Foo Fighters and filler?
Yeah, oh yeah. And then you get to the good part, and I was like, okay, now what's going on? We get explained what's going on. Well, what's the goal of this? But I was like, so why we spend 40 minutes just watching this band creating songs like, oh, this riff or this? Oh no, you already did that song. Oh no, that's from 4 years ago or 10 years ago. And I'm like, okay. And then... It is a lot of feelers, yes, as you said. Like, then he got an idea, wake up in the middle of the night, and try to make another song, and then during the day, and it's like, I'm seeing the same just in different locations. Like, what's the point of this?
So, this movie is almost 30 minutes longer than the movie we covered previously, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new one. I think those times should be not necessarily swapped, but I think this one should be that length.
Okay.
If you told me there's going to be a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie and there's going to be a new Foo Fighters horror, original Foo Fighters horror, one of them's coming out on Netflix, one's going to cinema, one of them's going to be like an hour and fucking 50 minutes long, and the other one's going to be an hour and 45, I would not have assumed that the Foo Fighters would be the cinema, theatrical, longer experience.
Yeah.
This should be like a Halloween Netflix special.
Yeah,
I think.
Like on my weekend.
An hour long.
Yeah, that's
max. And it's just, they go to the house, bad shit happens. And that's it.
Yeah.
100%. That's the one thing I've thought that about the Foo Fighters' musical career, and I think it about their movie career. Filler. Guys, you need to cut stuff. You need to get rid of the fucking gunk. The just absolute... Like, there'll be parts in this movie where you're like, okay, now we're cooking with gas. Mm-hmm. Now we're going. And then the gas just gets shut off entirely. And you're like, what are we doing?
I know. As I explained already.
It just sucks the atmosphere the first, out of the cinema.
Yeah, the
completely.
First 40 minutes is... I don't know if it's for fans. Like, oh, see, this is our music process. But it's not even like that deep music process.
It's not.
But,
and it's obviously like, not real. It's not how they come up with
exactly.
songs. Like, it's a piss take. So there's no
like,
need for it.
Why are you doing? Why are we wasting... You're wasting our time watching this.
Correct.
So... But I mean, maybe it's kind of related to they are trying to make this epic song, but it's like 40 minutes long, or I don't know how long is the song.
At the end of the movie, the song is...
I think like 40
it's
minutes.
Definitely
that
over 40 minutes.
That apparently will open a portal to hell or something like that. So is that a metaphor for what we're experiencing in the actually first 40 minutes of the movie? Might be.
I think you're looking too much into it.
I don't know, but yeah.
So,
like...
essentially, when we came out the cinema, I don't know if you remember this, there was a girl in front of us, a group of people, and one of the girls, she went, that was awesome, that was epic. And I just wanted to, like, run up to her and be like, how? How was it awesome and epic? You didn't laugh once. I think me and you laughed the
we
most.
We laughed the most, of, I think.
Everybody else was fucking dead silent, I think.
Well, there was a couple of girls up. Like,
and I was just like,
actual
admit, I know that you like the Foo Fighters, that's fine. Just admit that they got some of the stuff in this movie wrong. This movie is, it's not good. Is it terrible? No. It's fine for what it is, but it should be a DVD release. It should be a Netflix special. It shouldn't be a cinema hour and 40 minutes.
It should be one of those, like, from the Nightmares of the Foo Fighters.
Right.
A special disc and an album.
Exactly.
And then you get
just
this
a special
release.
Thing.
Yeah, like a track thing or something. Like, oh, if you buy the I don't know, like, whatever edition in Japan, you're getting this movie.
Yes.
Something like that. But, I mean, apart from all the waste of time in the first 40 minutes, then it started getting super silly. The blood, oh my God, like, lots of blood. The ways the people get killed.
Yeah.
It's just so dumb. Like, the Remy?
Yeah. Gets chainsawed in half when he's having sex.
Yeah,
sort of
when he's having sex.
That's good.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, oh my... And I was like, no! And then you see that, like, the whole splitting and all the blood. Oh, it's just ridiculous. And then we see the body of one delivery guy.
Yeah.
Without,
played by Will Forte.
Yeah, it's without a head, right?
Yeah, he's been decapitated.
And then what surprised me is like, they're like, oh, okay, I will be fucking vomiting if I see a body just like that old, like, strip and without a head. And they're like, oh, there's a lot of flies around here. Oh.
Yeah.
And then there's like, what? And then Dave is like, you know what? We need to finish the album. Don't call the police. And everybody's like, okay. Give
me
your phones. Okay. How is that okay? It's like, it's not okay. There's a fucking person dead there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. But again, it's a silly movie and I get it. But yeah, no.
And Dave's been possessed by that point.
Yes, it's possessed.
So
by,
he's evil.
Yeah, so what other killing was...
I don't really remember.
Oh, the barbecue guy? One of the guitar...
Yeah. That's Chris. Yeah. He gets his head fried in a barbecue.
Uh-huh. And then the other guitar...
Which one?
Oh, bass. Sorry.
Right. Uh huh.
How he died?
I don't know.
Well, two of them get. Well, one can get in, under the car to try. Oh, the old guy.
Pat.
Yeah.
Ends up under the car. That'll be Nate. That's in the car driving that when he. This means nothing to anyone who's listening to this, by the way. Right. It's really fucking gory when it needs to be.
It is.
My main problem with the movie is it should be as. It should be as fun as Malignant and as short as the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, and it's neither. It's okay in the fun department, and it's too long.
It's too long. It is too long. But again, I mean...
Like, Brett messaged me after, and it was like, I've heard awful things about the movie. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. Like, even Foo Fighters fans, I think, could be like, fucking hell, guys, like... We get the point. Just get to the gore. No, and they take so long. And then when they do get to it, the chainsaw splitting in half is good. Will Forte's decapitation is... We don't actually see it as far as I'm aware, but his body's fine. Barbecue head fried. It's fine.
The best
like,
one
some
is
of the kills are fine. They're gory, but they're not that exciting.
Do you know what
the
it
chainsaw
is?
One
all
is good.
All that people... It's like, I will be bothered about... And I wasn't that bothered because we were already there. But anyway, that you did the trip to go to the cinema.
Yeah.
And then people pays for the movie and sit there by popcorn. Like, do you spend at least like £20 to go?
Are you blaming
this
the Foo Fighters for that?
No. I'm just saying, like, if you put it on Netflix, probably people would be like, oh, that was fun.
Yes.
You know?
That's what I mean.
But people was bothered going to the cinema or like, okay, I'm going to pay to see this movie. And I'm like, why we waste our money in this?
But I don't think it delivers on what it could be.
Yeah. And but if you got it for free on TV, you will be like, okay.
Yeah, yes. If it was in its current form, I think on Netflix, you accept it. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
At the cinema, you're like, no, it should be shorter. It should be bloodier. It should be funnier than it is. I get that they're bad actors, so I'm not factoring that in. But, I mean, there is good stuff in it. One, I like the Jenna Ortega's in it. I like that a lot.
Okay.
She is the little girl from the previous band. Mm-hmm. So she was obviously in Scream. She was Tara. Mm-hmm. She's going to be in... the new Ty West film, X, which we saw the trailer for. She is in The Babysitter 2. Like, I like that she's on a run of just horror projects. I like that a lot. 2, I like the John Carpenter score. It's John Carpenter, his son Cody Carpenter, I think is his name, and someone else. I like the score. I like that John Carpenter is in the movie. That's funny to me. I don't know why. He doesn't even do anything. He just says, like, hey, guys. Like, he's mixing the music, and then they're like, see you tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, see you tomorrow. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know why he needed to be in it, but I love that he is. The music at times reminded me of some of the score of Under the Skin, which you haven't seen. But I was sitting in the movie going, this reminds me of something, and it was really bugging me. It's Under the Skin. It reminds me of that at times, which is weird for Carpenter. But anyway.
You know what I like?
Yeah. No, I don't. What did you like?
The song that they were actually creating.
Yeah, but you never hear it in full, obviously.
No, you know, but I like how it starts like slow.
Does it start slow?
Or kind of slow, but then it starts like. And then it starts like proper, like, you know, 80s band. Like proper. I don't know how. Sorry for my special effects. Do you want to stop laughing? You know what? No, I'm not going to say anything.
Finish what you were saying.
But you're laughing about my special
effects. You're saying you like the song.
Yes, I do like the song. The house starts like, just like an okay melody, and then goes off like with this like, and then like guitars and everything comes in. And like, wow, that sounds one of those songs from, I don't know, like 80s band, rock stars and stuff like that. So I did like that.
Yeah.
Again, you never listen to the full song, but apparently it's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know that bit when he goes, when the first time he hears the song and wants to recreate it? That was really good. And he's just like rocking all around and.
In the basement?
Yeah, in the basement.
I don't really remember that, to be fair.
Oh my god. Anyway, what
do you mean he's rocking all around?
Yeah, like he plays a song and then he starts like just like
headbanging
the head and like.
I don't remember that. I remember hearing the song, but I don't remember him headbanging. Yeah, this.
I did like that.
Yeah, I think you can hear how forgettable it is in my mind. And to me, that's a big
problem.
So
I don't know what else you want to say about this movie, because...
I think that's a problem. That it's grimy and it's silly and it's over the top or whatever. But this, like, should be a movie where I'm walking out of it going, wow, I'll remember that experience. That was so fucking fun. And I'm watching it going, parts of it were.
Yeah, like the creepy ghost around.
Parts of it were pretty boring. And parts of it, I'm just like...
Well, the demons were quite creepy.
Nah, the demons aren't creepy at all.
Calm, they were.
They're not. They're silly demons. They were. It's not meant to be creepy. It's meant to be silly. Like, they've got red eyes.
Creepy. Anyway, but yeah, that's all I can give you.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not a horror classic. I get that. But it should be a movie where I'm thinking, this is going to be playing at cinemas, you know, once a year. Like, the Glasgow Film Theatre is going to have, like, a Studio 666 screening. And all the people are going to go with their, you know, popcorn and beers, and people are going to love it.
Huh.
Like an annual...
Like cult?
Kind of, like a cult film, yeah. I just didn't get it from it.
Yeah.
I was just like...
That's a shame.
This should be Netflix. It feels like Netflix release.
There was potential.
I think so, and I think it's been wasted.
Yeah, oh well. So yeah, so... Again, don't wait until it's on Netflix or in a platform, Prime, whatever.
It's not worth your money.
Yeah, yeah. It's not worth the trip.
It's... Yeah, exactly. It's maybe worth one viewing, but not at the cinema. That's all I can say about it. Which is a shame, yes. But it's a Foo Fighters. I should have known.
Yeah.
My naivety got the better of me. I've always thought that about their albums.
Of you.
Right? That's one of their songs. Oh, you said you know that one. I mean, I like them. I would go and see them live. I watch them on TV. I think they're entertaining people. I think they seem like nice people.
Yeah.
I think whenever they're on... I think there really isn't a mainstream rock band like them. And I mean mainstream. I'm not talking about like, oh, of course, like this indie band is way heavier or whatever. A band that's selling stadiums out around the world. I mean, their contemporaries really are Coldplay, which is fucking disgusting. And
Callum.
Imagine Dragons, maybe?
Oh, I like Imagine Dragons.
There's nobody on the level of Foo Fighters at the moment that can get as heavy as the Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
and true. I know people will say, well, Metallica or whatever. Metallica are big. They're really fucking big. I don't know if they're as big as Foo Fighters, though.
Oh, really?
In terms of album sales and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know who, I don't know about sales, but I think iconic. Of course they're way more iconic.
Of course, yeah. I'm not going to deny that. But... Like, I would say Metallica's best days are behind them.
Yeah, but still they're, like, famous fucking famous, yeah.
I know. But, for example, okay, here's my point. Metallica comes on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Is your mum and dad listening to it?
No.
Foo Fighters come on the radio. I'd say my mum and dad.
No, my mum and dad wouldn't.
Okay, but they would just leave it. Yeah, it's Foo Fighters.
But, for example, if it comes The One, your mum will leave it.
The One?
It's not called The One or One.
By which band? There is a song by Foo Fighters called The One, which is my favourite Foo Fighters song.
No,
actually.
The Metallica.
That's just called One.
Oh, One.
There's no way my mum's leaving One on.
Really?
No.
Oh, I saw that durr, one. Durr, durr, I thought durr, it was like... Da, durr, durr, okay, da, you have durr. Better drums than your mum than me.
My mum is not listening to One, but she's listening to Best of You, for example. That's what I mean. Like, Foo Fighters... Metallica probably have more fans than Foo Fighters do. Like, hardcore. No denying. But across the board, from this age to this age, I'd say more people are just going to, it's on the radio, leave it. Whereas Metallica comes on, I know people are like, turn that off.
Are you guys loving that we're talking about music and not about the movie? Because that's it. We don't know how to feel this.
It's. Anyway. But what I'm saying is, for a band as big and as mainstream as they are, and as, you know... As iconic as they are, well, maybe I know, but like as big, they've always, to me, they've always had a problem with knowing, like, this stuff's good, this stuff's shit, and get rid of it. And they just muddle it all together. And this movie is kind of the embodiment of that. It is fact. It's a 4 to a 5 out of 10 at best. And it should be that in terms of quality, but in terms of fun, it should be like, an 8. And in terms of fun, it's also like a 4 and a 5.
Well, that's a shame. Anyway, so yeah, that's Studio 666.
Yeah. And we will have no episodes in March because we'll be in Mexico.
Be in Mexico.
By the time you hear this, we'll be in Mexico.
Ha ha ha.
And our next episode will be in April sometime, and we'll post on Instagram and figure it out when we're back. Until then, you can go and listen to previous episodes.
Yeah,
we've done Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We've done Scream this year. That's all we've done this year. If you want to listen to older episodes, we had different mics, so they sound shitter, but feel free to do so.
I'll just do it, yeah.
Listen to them, retweet them, post about them, comment on them, do whatever you need to do. That would be great. Thank you so much. Gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.